Ready, down, hut, 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 hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He has come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Checking in with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde this morning about the Green Bay Packers. Jason, we were just having a conversation about Jacob Monk and his cold water allergy. First time we have heard about anything like that. And our general assumption is that the medical staff of the Green Bay Packers has determined that that will not be an issue for him playing in the frozen tundra of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Are you under the same impression?
Yes, that's exactly what Don Eric Sullivan told us on Saturday, that they're aware of it. It's not an issue for them. I did find it, I guess, amusing, even though this is not, like, I had one of our listeners email me and say that their son has the same issue, which I had never heard of until Saturday either. But it's really strange. Like, apparently there's like this kind of window of where the temperature can be without it being an issue for folks that have this malady. So it is something they'll have to monitor. But even John Eric Sullivan, the vice president of player personnel, you know, kind of made a wise crack about it and said, you know, we'll just make sure he doesn't go ice fishing. But like, we had all kinds of questions, like, you know, is it okay to play in snow? And can you drink a glass of cold water? And so, it was one of the things that you do this job for a long time and you think you've seen everything. Now maybe I've seen everything.
Jason, we've seen all the pundits' grades. Most of them are B's. What grade would you give them, and who do you really like out of this draft?
Incomplete. I give them incomplete.
Okay.
It's stupid that we do these grades right away. I wonder what did the Jets get when they drafted Zach Wilson the day after, or 2 days after they drafted him, right? And ultimately that was an F, right? Because you didn't get your franchise quarterback. There's a number of guys that I really like. Monk is one of them. He just has kind of a Corey Linsley vibe to me. They were both drafted in the fifth round. They're both former captains. They're both really smart dudes. They both play center, not a left tackle moving over to center. So he was one of them. The guys that I'm really intrigued by, Edgerrin Cooper is one of them. I know there was some question about, you know, how effectively he can digest the playbook. I get the sense that what Jeff Hafley wants from him and Quay Walker and anyone else who plays linebacker for them is just to be free-flowing and fast and long and go sideline to sideline and be able to do all the things that, you know, these really good interior linebackers are doing now in terms of being able to get after the quarterback when called upon, be stout against the run, and also cover people. It was an interesting conversation that we had with Goody because, you know, back in your day, the middle linebacker, I think he said that they were square, which is not the shape that I was thinking of when it came to like Ron Cox and Bernardo Harris. But I guess that's kind of true, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just sort of like, you know, these big bulky dudes, and that's not what they are anymore. So I'm really interested in him. And then, you know, the running back Lloyd, there aren't many times where I'm taller than a player that they draft, but his 220 pounds and my 220 pounds, I think are slightly different. Mine is much softer than his. And then the last one that I'm really curious about, obviously I thought it was great that they drafted an Oregon guy and an Oregon State guy, both at the same position. But I'm really intrigued by Kalen King. Like, I just, I, you know, he's not a seventh round pick like Tausch, who, you know, only spent 1 year as a starter at Wisconsin and he didn't know how good he might be. Or like Driver, who had played, you know, at a small school at Alcorn State, or even Timmerman, right? I think what's interesting about King is, like, after his sophomore year, everybody thought he was going to be a first-round pick. And then he had a really bad junior year, came out anyway, and ends up going with the third-to-last pick in the draft. So it's a really interesting class. I'm eager to see what they can do when we go to practice, hopefully on Friday.
Should we expect going forward that when the Packers have a need going into the draft, Gutekunst is just going to take a couple of different players? And I look at the linebackers, they take the two in Cooper and Hopper. You mentioned the two safeties, also throwing a third one with their second round pick in Javon Bullard out of Georgia. Because the one word I feel like we've been hearing the last 2 years around this time, Jason, is competition. And they want as much competition on the roster as possible.
They do, and I think that they have succeeded on that. And I mean, again, in 3 years, they've drafted 35 players, and nobody in the league has done that. And, you know, I'll be honest, we went into last Monday and the presser with Goody thinking, okay, he's got 11 picks. He picked 24 guys the last 2 years. There's no way that they want to have another big double-digit draft class. And he told us that he did. I hope, you know, I'd like to get 13 or 14 or more, he said, right? And then he was up to 13 at one point before he made a couple of trades. So this is really what he wants. I can't emphasize this enough. You know, he kind of dropped some breadcrumbs earlier in the offseason that because of what had happened with the offense last year with all those young guys, that he was going to try and do the same thing on defense. And then I just asked him flat out about it on Monday. And I said, you know, are you more convinced than ever that this is a young man's game? And was there some sort of shift in your mentality? And he said that he's always believed that. And what last year did was it confirmed his belief that this is you have to go young, and that if you play young guys early and go through the growing pains with them and the frustration and the disappointment and the poor plays and the mistakes, that you come out better on the other side and you're better off long term. Now, that worked last year. I would defer to Chewy, but it is almost as if there's been this kind of, I don't want to call it an overcorrection because this is what he believes, but I've always believed in the value of experience. And I am a little bit, I don't want to say leery, but a lot of young guys, it's great, you know, youth, and they're not, you know, John Eric Sullivan made a comment about how when you have an older team, it affects how you practice and it takes guys longer to recover. I mean, I just think they're all in on youth, and I am curious if, you know, they were a couple of plays away from being 7-10 instead of 9-8, and we're not feeling the exact same way about them today as we are if they do that. So I'm really curious to see this. If he is right, and he very well could be, you know, they're doing things very differently. No team has gone, you know, we always talked about how Ted loved young players. I mean, this is well beyond even what Ted would do. So it's a really fascinating experiment, and I can't wait to see how it plays out.
Is it your guess then, Jason, that they will be the youngest team again this season, just with how many of the draft picks we kind of expect or are projected to be out there on the field?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any question. Like, they, you know, they did add two veteran players, but even those guys, like, you know, Xavier McKinney is younger than Darnell Savage, who was their opening day starter, and Josh Jacobs is younger than Aaron Jones. And then you add all these draft picks. You know, I think it's a fascinating case study. And if they succeed and if they go win a Super Bowl like this, You know, I'm not saying that this is like Moneyball, where Billy Beane, you know, completely changed baseball. But I think it's really interesting that if this succeeds, I wonder how many other teams will say, all right, we're going to very rarely give out third contracts and maybe even more rarely give out second contracts than normal, right? Like, you know, I'm curious if they're just going to, like John Runyon, for example. Chewy, I don't know if you agree with this, but John Runyon played well enough that back in the Ron Wolf, Ted Thompson era, you would have re-signed him. And he'd be a starter for another 4 years. And instead, it was kind of like, yeah, we're not going to pay for that. We think we can get a young guy, Sean Ryan, who we drafted 2 years after we took Runyon. We think we can get him ready and he can play the same way. Like, it's almost like very few people are irreplaceable beyond the quarterback. And I guess we'll even see if there are wide receivers that become, you know, guys that we absolutely positively have to re-sign.
Jason, I'm giving you 100-to-1 odds, and you're putting $100 down. Give me the starting line for the opening game against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh, you got me thinking now, because I'm, you know, a big better guy. Can I bet with your $100?
Yeah, sure.
Tom at right tackle, Ryan at right guard. I think Josh Myers still the starting center on opening day, but not necessarily the starting center by midseason. I don't know enough about Monk. I just really like him. So I think that would be ridiculous for me to say he's going to win the starting job. I just don't have enough evidence to back that up. Obviously, Elton at left guard. And I kind of think the same thing at left tackle opening day. Like, I think we're kind of underestimating Rashid Walker. I did think that he played significantly better down the stretch than he had at the first half of the season. The guy started 17 games, including two playoff games. And I just think that, you know, in Morgan's case, he's obviously the guy of the future. But I keep going back to Bulaga, who, you know, if Tausch doesn't get hurt, I'd be curious to know how soon Bulaga enters the lineup back in 2010, because he ends up being the youngest guy to ever start a Super Bowl. But if Tausch doesn't have his body start to break down on him, I'm not sure that they were going to replace Tausch with Bulaga as quickly as they did, because remember, Brian was really, really young and had not played a ton. I mean, he started as a true freshman in Iowa. It's not like he hadn't played, but I think they were thinking they'd be able to bring him along slowly. And then I think 4 games in, you know, Tausch gets hurt and he's done for the year. So, Jason, you think
the drafting of Monk quashes Tom moving to center?
I do. Yeah, I definitely do. I don't, you know, I know we got a lot of mileage out of Rob's comment. But as I said to him, and as I think we talked about, it's one thing for a couple of guys in the personnel department to think that. But if I'm Zach Tom and I see the contract that Sewell got in Detroit as a right tackle, I'm telling you, I ain't moving to center. I don't care what you tell me to do. You can go trade me to somebody else to play right tackle for them then, because I'm not getting paid like a center. I'm getting paid like a right tackle.
Yeah, this is the conversation we had a couple of years ago about somebody. Who was it that was a receiver tight end? Wasn't there a player who, like...
Jimmy Graham.
It was Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham wanted to be labeled a wide receiver because
he got the franchise tag.
That's right.
And he wanted to be paid the wide receiver money, but he was designated a tight end, so he got paid the tight end money.
All right, Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, he was neither during his time.
He was there.
All right, guys, take care. Yeah, he was there, unfortunately. Bye.
He was present. So we're going to put that on the Jen Gabe and Chewy Twitter poll, because, Chewy, I think you bring up a great point about the offensive line. They're going to want to get those younger players in there at some point, the Monks and the Morgans of the world. But I was a little surprised that he thinks that Walker will kind of have a hold on that left tackle spot. And I thought Morgan, they kind of were saying, was going to be a starter from day one. Is he going to be a guard, Gabe? I mean, what do you think the plan is for Morgan?
I think what they were saying is they're going to start him at that position, not necessarily be the starter because they want the competition. And the one thing that Jason's also brought up, the one thing we know about Rashid Walker is he's going to compete because he competed for the position last year and that's how he ended up winning it. And I know that's what they loved about him, especially when we all thought that Yash Nijman was going to be the left tackle last year.
You can understand my confusion then with the, he's going to start at that position. Yeah. I thought start meant he was going to be the starter.
That's just where he's starting.
That's a little pampanish.
Starting there.
A little pampanish.
Let's go to the mall.
Hello, Ms. Lady.
I think what they're trying to communicate is we'd like him to be our starting left tackle. We're not sure if he's going to be that good.
All right, we're putting it on the Jen Game and Chewy Twitter poll. Who would you like to be the starting left tackle when the season starts for the Green Bay Packers? We'll take a break. Roll on right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's a lot of sodas now that are prebiotic sodas as well.
They don't work. They're called poop.
No,
they're really called poop, I think. You buy them on Amazon.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
You got a lot of brust in you. You know that?
On 94.5 ESPN.